Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 17 of The Gathering Storm, a podcast aimed at the average 40k gamer, helping them to improve. Ben and I are very, very excited today. We have a very, very special guest. I guess, especially as far as Australian podcasting goes, it's an Australian celebrity and even
the Maltese Dark Angel. With us,
the wonderful, yes, the very, very, very happy Adam Camilleri. Adam,
how are you on today, mate? Good. A bit of a sleepy Sunday for me, but having a pretty great day. My great honour to be on this show. Been enjoying all your content so far.
Trust me, the honour is all ours. I think we've had one other guest before. It was Zach DeGlass, who isn't insignificant. Who was a great. He was a great
lovely
guest.
Lovely lad.
No.
Lovely.
Well, has actually just been on the winning team for the latest teams tournament here at Gladiator Gaming. So he's done well. He's playing the Eldar. I'm not going to spoil it too much, because I'd love to talk about the game that I played into him, because I'm very excited about that. But yeah, no, Adam, like, thanks again for jumping on. There's obviously a lot happening in the wide world of Warhammer at the moment, which is very, very exciting. Like, we've got LVO, we've got Adelaide Uprising. Like I said, teams tournament up here in Brisbane with 100 players this weekend. It's definitely starting
to kick off. Yeah, it's fantastic.
And Adam is not attending any of this, and this concerns me.
What swear words am I allowed to wield? I mean, I know what you guys have said before.
Shit, fuck, cunt, balls. Yeah.
I ain't doing shit at the moment. It's fantastic. I'm fucking taking it easy, but I have decent reasons for it. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've done a lot of traveling in the last 24 months.
I was away for 5 months in the last 12. Out of the country for five of the last 12 months. And
wow.
I'm going to be doing less time, but more frequent trips in the next 12 months. So I'm just for a lot of reasons, I'm taking the downtime where I can. I'm still kind of miffed on missing out on Uprising, but there are reasons for that too.
We've all got reasons. Ben and I both had our own slumps about time. Like, I think this is the first podcast we've done in weeks and Christmas. This year. Christmas end of year has kicked my absolute ass, so I can 100% appreciate and understand and get that you just need a break.
As you guys maybe not know, I got the gig with G-Dub. G-Dub's pretty much got me doing streams for them in the next 12 months. And so
I did not know that.
Oh, really?
But no.
A little thing called the World Championships of Warhammer happened. It's not a big deal. Hopefully it'll be a big deal in the coming years. But the first one happened in Atlanta in November. And I was able to go and stream for that, and that was my first G-Dub stream gig.
Right.
And so, but when you go into the G-Dub gig, it closes the other doors. So wasn't if I went to stream at LVO this year, I would have been streaming with G-Dub on the AOS stream.
Right.
So yeah, my work only, they said can't have November and January. You can't have weeks 3 weeks off in November and 3 weeks off in January. You have to pick one. I picked the one that was the 40k stream because I didn't want to. It was the obvious choice.
Yeah,
for me.
Fair enough.
But then I was still expecting to go to Uprising. I was keen. I was about to buy a ticket. And I told I was at a family gathering. I told my brothers I've got a bit of FOMO about missing the first LVO for 4 years. And they were like, oh, but I'm really excited to go to Adelaide the week after. And they're like, oh shit, what are those dates? And I told them, they're like, okay, don't go to that. And I asked why, and they said they'd got me concert tickets for that weekend to go see. I don't know if you guys are punks. NOFX, you guys know this band?
They're doing their
literal last tour ever. Their 40th year as a band. They're doing their last tour. I mean, all my brothers are going to that, so they got me tickets to that.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that instead of Uprising. So there's good reasons to miss it. The FOMO is freaking thick. It's thick. It's oatmeal on my soul right now.
Well, we won't poke at you too much with that, but I am glad you're seeing NOFX's farewell tour. That's
how fucking un-Australian of you.
we're going to take it easy on you, Adam. Adam, you're a cunt for not coming to Uprising.
Fucking and, truth, you're right.
And you're a cunt just in general.
Just in general.
Yeah, no. Well, look, it's funny. I got out some. I was going through some old CDs and I found some Millen Collins CDs.
Oh,
and I'm like,
yes, dude.
I'm like, I remember these guys.
Yes.
And I think 12 Monkeys or something was one of the records.
Yes.
And
yes. It was. I got that poster. I've got that poster. I had it on my phone as well when I was a kid.
Then I had to run around the house and try and find something that would play a fucking CD.
Because
none of my cars do. And anyway, I played it, and yeah, it was very reminiscent of good times. But look, you
I feel very young right now.
Yeah,
I was going to say I feel very young.
Yeah, how old are you, Michael?
How old do you think I am, Adam? Here you go. You can look at my age.
Older than that. No. 31. Older than that. 32. I'm 36.
32.
I'm 43, so you people, yeah. Just keep it down, all right?
Yeah, you won't hear us.
If we keep it down, you won't hear us. Yeah, your ears won't
keep it down. Hang on, I just got to take my prunes. So,
yeah. What's ironic is what people can't see right now is that both Adam and I don't have headphones on, and Ben does, so he definitely
fuck
needs
you very
on.
Much. Fuck you very much.
Your earphones.
We both flipped him off as well.
Love you too.
Yes, there's a lot of flipping off going on here. Adam, is 40K gaming your job? Because you're on the Six Up Up show, you're on Down Under 40K, which is your own stream, the two-part, which I am a subscriber. You're on Forge the Narrative. You're on Stat Check.
Nah.
Do you do a bit with... No, you don't do Stat Check?
I do Meta Chasers.
Meta Chasers, that's
which
the one.
Which is kind of like, it's like a weak version of Stats Check.
Okay.
It really
Stat
is.
Check from weak. All right. Where else are you?
I just started a new show because I'm an absolute hoe for this stuff. Yep. But it's old world focused.
Okay. I have enjoyed your recent podcast, getting the hype up for the old world. I got into James Workshop in 93 and Old World was alive and well. And I have enjoyed your hype for that. But all these podcasts, and now you're doing this work for G-Dubs, is this your day job? Has hobby become work?
It is work. It's not my day job, though. I still have it. Right. I still have a 9-to-5 in addition. And taking on this fourth show was a fourth weekly show was just a big... I ummed and ahed for months about whether or not I was going to do another show, just because it's just so much. It's so much every week, trying to line up another guest, line up another recording time. At least twice a week, I get up at like all hours, like getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, just because that's when the guest can do the show, and that's just my life. But no woe is me. My life is freaking awesome, and I love everything that I do, so I have no regrets. But this is the path that I'm on, and the roller coaster continues to get more scary.
Right, and is it your end game though? You reckon, like, if you could monetize?
So the issue is, I got a pretty good job, and it's taken me a long time to get a really good job.
All right,
I'm in my mid-30s, and I'm like, I would really like to get as much financial security as I can. So if I could get 40K to be comparable to my day job, 100%. Day job's gone. See you later. Never heard of you.
See ya.
Out the door. It doesn't come close. It's pretty good. It's good. It's a nice little earner. Never going to say no to doing money for something that I'm so passionate about. It's nowhere near a day job. I probably could make more money and monetize the stuff I do better if I gave up my day job and had more time to put into it, but I'd rather not. I'm not in it for the money. The money's nice. And funny enough, I was on a bunch of shows and did a bunch of content, a bunch of other things that were just altruistic, no money involved, and they all burnt out over time. The only ones that I've continued to do are the ones that people are paying for, and that's why I do it every fucking week, because I'm like, people expect shit from me, and I am so traumatized by my parents and various other people that when people expect things from me, I'm terrified of disappointing them. So you get your fucking episodes every week. So you get your fucking podcast every week.
And it comes out like clockwork, and I don't know if you're a subscriber to Down Under 40K. This is a subtle plug for you here,
thank
Michael,
you, brother.
But...
I think Down Under 40K is a different, also lovely mod from New South Wales. I'm Art of War Down Under.
Oh, sorry, Art of War Down Under. Sorry, I've got Down Under 40K in my head because I'm hosting Dale Sumner at my house for Uprising. So,
Tell him he stole my name. Tell him. He didn't. I have no rights to freaking claiming Down Under, but do it anyway.
Do it. All right.
Imagine that. Claiming the rights for Down Under for 40K. It's definitely the...
All right,
most engaged thing in the world.
You can claim his accent, see if you can talk like Dale for the next 3 minutes.
No, he's too fine a vintage.
Whoa. He's too fine a vintage. So, okay, so...
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I'm just mindful here, Michael. I'm monopolizing this conversation. I'm a little bit... yeah, I know. I'm a little bit starstruck at the minute. It's fair to say, Adam, I listen to a 40K podcast when I go to sleep every night, and I know the good ones because I have to listen to them through to the end and then find something else, and the bad ones, I just wake up and go, oh, didn't actually hear much of that. It was pretty boring. But I tend to go end to end with a lot of yours. So
thank you.
I do That's like the lovely. Content. I don't know if it's made me a better player, but it's made me a better conversationalist.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say like it's well renowned that I'm an upper mid. I'm a nice upper mid. You know, A tier on a good day, kind of a player. And I gave up that horse of trying to portray myself as akin to a Nunavati or some of the, you know, a Matt Morisoli, Jerry Martino. I'm just me, and I hope to be informative and entertaining.
That's what I got to reached give. Lofty heights with the game. You've played for Australia. You still play in the Vic ATC team.
You should pay me dollars to learn what I have. When you
that,
just
that team that always seems to play to second.
You can just go to somebody who's won an ITC, somebody who's won a WTC, like, you know.
Yeah. Yep. But.
Yeah, I guess, like, something I really liked about what you're talking about, I'm going to steal some of the.
Yeah, sure. I'm just going to fucking mute now so I can.
For the next 35 minutes. For the first time fucking ever. What I really like, Adam, is that you're, like, highlighting the differences between doing something for passion, doing something for money, and how obviously the money is a great incentive when you're doing something you're passionate about. Ben and I have always said from the very beginning that we're doing this because we're passionate about it and that we have no desire to make money from it. But for both of us in the situation we're in, it's a really good way for us to stay connected with the hobby. And I can foresee my next year or so, this being one of the biggest ways I can connect with it because like, I've got a young son, I've got lots of things I want to do with him. Like life just gets super, super busy. And for us, the aim for Ben and I was always, if we break even, if we don't have to pay to do this, that's fantastic. And we've been lucky enough to get a couple of stores behind us and cover the, you're on our obviously high end production website that we use to produce.
I pay for a similar program and they're not cheap.
30.
Like, yeah.
No, well, yeah, like that being covered by them makes a huge difference. And then it's just a lot of labor of love from us. And I think hearing you talk about how you have had that and have had the opposite is I guess a word of warning. I'm going to say this a bit controversially, a word of warning for people who go, I want to get into this to make money. I want this to become a full-time job. I want this to be my primary source of income. Because I'll be honest, as someone who works for the government, my job's really stable. I'm a teacher when I'm not off doing dad life or Warhammer life. And I tell you what, we're probably always going to need teachers. I'm permanently employed. Like I know I'm going to get a paycheck every fortnight, but I guess that, did you have any illusions or have you heard of any illusions from content creators who go, I want to make this everything and...
Well, so I've, you know, lived, all told, I've spent, almost 11 months of the last 3 years hanging out in the Art of Warhouse, like being close by the Art of Warhouse. 11 months in the States, I think it was about 9 of those. 8 or 9 of those spent living just with those boys. And when I first went and stayed with them and hung out with them, they were on no money. None of them were any money. If the thing ever took a hit or took a significant downturn, they were done. Like the best players in the freaking world, you know, with a full time brand, with you know, essentially the first professional player of all time. Sorry, one sec. They were still going. They were still going like month to month, just getting by. And that was up until 2 years ago. And now they've only just started getting ahead. And that's like 4 of the best players in North America going full time content creation, full time selling themselves as a professional player, as a coach and stuff. And even they were like, you know, on the bread, you know, literally just getting by, not having much to put into savings, just being like going for the passion. So yeah, word of warning, get into it for the love of it. And if you start making money, sure. Yeah. Good for you, fan freaking tastic. You're doing it, but yeah, do it for the love. And if the love gets you across the line, so be it. Well done to you. But yeah, don't go into it thinking you're gonna make big bucks. I mean, I've been doing this for 6 years now. So the streaming side of things, as many of you know, I started out. I did a single podcast by myself. Then me and Josh Diffie started streaming events, and then I moved to streaming like LVOs and you know other international events, and you know, I did a couple of uprisings and things like that. Six years in, I'm getting paid. That's why I took the GW gig, because I'm like 6 years in, I've been doing it for 6 years. It's okay if I let myself be paid for it now. And so I took the GW gig because they're going to pay my flights, accommodation, and put a little bit in my pocket. It's not a lot of money in my pocket afterwards, but it's something. And After, yeah. So I had to do it 6 years to get paid for just that. I mean, and, I have had a, yeah.
6 years and you're as recognizable as you are.
I mean, I have made money. Like, so I've traveled to LVO and like, and done LVO and Broken Even.
Yeah.
As in like, they've, you know, helped me out and made things easier. You know, streaming with Joe we did the WTC this year. He gave me a percentage of what he made. And that was almost enough to break even on that trip. Turns out accommodation in Europe's pretty steep. But yeah, I got close to breaking even there. And that's exceptional. I essentially streamed, two LVOs out of my own pocket. So full flights, accommodation, everything until they broke even on one of them. And yeah, so that's just putting in perspective for you. But that's live streaming. It's still a developing thing. People are still trying to find out how to monetize that and make it worthwhile because it's such a hard gig. It's super expensive for what you do. And it's also just like talking for freaking 14 hours a day.
Which is not easy. And I guess on top of that, you know, two LBOs out of your own pocket, almost breaking even at WTC. What goes behind that is the amount of hours you've put into building that up that you have done because you're passionate. It's like, it's not just the fact it's taken a couple of big events. It's not just it's taken a couple of years. It's the actual hours spent in the chair recording, editing before you had people editing for you or, you know, like, you know, you mentioned to us before, getting up at stupid o'clock to organize and, you know, an interview or whatever. Like there's...
Yeah, and please don't think that was some hard luck story. There. I've loved every second of my journey. Everything I've done has been absolutely... I wouldn't change a fucking thing. It's all been spectacular. And if it just ended tomorrow, I'd be grateful for all of it. I would just go back to being a player. All the content would disappear. I'd just be like, thank you for the chickens. What's the line off? Jeez, it's not thank you for all the fish. Thank you for all the chickens. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Get the dogs.
And I would just be done. I'd fade off into the hedge like Homer Simpson and I would just go on being a player again and it would be fine. And I'd still be very proud of myself and happy. And hopefully, you know, what I've done up until now was worthwhile to people.
Look, it's been good. It's been ongoing. Adam, when I subscribed to your podcast and I was talking myself into dipping into competitive gaming and I was shitting myself. I even sent you a message through the podcast channel saying, I'm petrified. And you said, yeah, I remember that. My first ever tournament. I was nervous AF, but I got through to the other side. And look, it's been 18 months now and I've done Terracon. I've done an Uprising. Yeah. I do one a month. With three kids and a full-time job. Oh, yeah. I've got the bug.
You're in the Matrix. Yeah.
So it is a web that you can jump in. And then I sold a GSC army to Michael and Michael and I connected and he was paying me off in installments. And
here you are fucking doing it, doing the content thing. You're fucking doing it, boys. Well done.
We are doing it. Thank you very much. On that, I do.
Shut
have
up.
To bring this
shut
up.
The
ben,
fuck up.
My,
I'm sending it back to you.
I'm
I can't be fucked. There you go.
Dude, it's hard. Even when they're busted, it's still a hard work army. Like, we talk about like actions per model. We got the, I don't know. Oh,
no.
Okay.
He just needs to paint it. He told me, and this is going back. He said to me, I said to him,
no,
oh,
you
if
said
I buy more stuff,
one truck. One fucking truck. Yeah. And I said,
no. We can go through the method.
Michael went on to Facebook Marketplace and anything that had the GSC fucking word in it ended up at my house in Adelaide. And he's like,
this is such an old couple's argument. I never wanted to buy those couches. I didn't like beige. Why did you have the beige ones?
Correct. No.
Because instead of the time you left them, and that's why I bought the damn beige couches. But I always like to check in, just because people are like, oh, you've got a GSC army, do I? Like,
let's face it. Michael.
Let me check
you're
in with Ben
about play that. Elder.
He's right.
Look, I played them this weekend. I literally have come home and then from a teams tournament, and then just jumped straight into this. So I'm gonna have to earn my stripes and brownie points later on, but. After playing Eldar at a team's tournament, I can't wait till they get worse and everyone jumps off my faction because I'm sick and tired of people playing my faction. we just had announced in here that the end of year faction awards for each faction is going to be a custom designed Magna Chair case, which is done by Pete the LaRusso, who's up here in Queensland. He's a legend. Like, I'm happy to plug his stuff because he literally, his job is making cases that are magnetic and you can customize your faceplate with your army or an image. But the end of year bonus for being the best in Queensland of your faction is you get a case with your faction on it. So I went, all right, I'm going to play Eldar and I'm going to try and earn that case. This weekend at Teams, I ended up with a mirror 3 times and I may have defeated my opponent all 3 times.
You deserve each other.
Just because I won. I chased it. I was like, I want the mirror. I played the mirror. I beat the mirror. I go, stop playing my arm. You don't like to play my arm anymore.
Slap the Yinkan right out of their hands.
That case. And pretty much. I'm like, no, your list is... like, it's not my list, so it's wrong. And then I had to go prove it. And thankfully I did, which was nice, because if I didn't, I'd be absolutely fucking lambasted for being an absolute dropkick. But, oh, look, and I played Snack to Glass, Zach to Glass. And like I said, his team actually ended up winning the event. But in that round there, I played him, got the mirror, was very excited, and ended up beating him 15-5. So I was like, cool, I'll take that.
As a Dark Angels player, but I'm ready for everyone to get off my faction because that codex sucks.
Sorry, it's good that G-Dubs doesn't listen to this channel. So,
it's fine. No, the embargo was up on Saturday. I can talk about it. It's fine.
All right. Okay.
I wouldn't have mentioned it otherwise. But yeah.
Right. Okay. So you know something that we don't, and Dark Angels players go crawl in a hole.
Reviews are all over the internet. So Deathwing Knights absolutely dead, like dead in the ground, underneath the ground, like below the other graves, they're dead.
See, people say this though, Adam, and I've had people, you know, like, oh, this codex is trash, this is this, and you obviously know the caliber of players we have up in here in Queensland. There's a couple of half decent players, like they're not
middling.
Yeah, just a few, like they're not fantastic. Tongue in cheek. Yeah, so you have these players that take these bad codexes or these bad units, and then you play them, and you go, oh, cool, you put me in the bin and
I'm empathizing with you because everyone's going to look at this codex and stop playing my faction. Yeah, and I'm going to keep playing it, and I'm going to do fine. And I'm going to have a lot of fun with it still. Yeah, this is fine.
Yeah, you're going to
be. So you're a faction specialist, Adam. You're a Dark Angel or the...
Dark Angels and Guard are my two... Well, okay. It's kind of generic Space Marines now. I've got a kind of everything Space Marine army, but if I have the choice, I'll play Dark Angels. I like Templars as well a lot. Templars, Dark Angels, Guard. That's it. I haven't played my Space Marines as anything else but Templar. I've proxied them as Ultras and all sorts of shit for people to practice into, but I've only ever taken either Templars or Dark Angels, I believe, to events. Guard. Although I haven't fucking played Guard since the... second year of 8th edition, because I played that codex for 2 years and then I got tired of that codex and didn't get a new one until the end of fucking 9th edition. And so
I have a feeling, Adam, and correct me if I'm wrong, I saw you playing Guard at one event
since the second year of fucking 8th edition. And I've got like fucking 12,000 points of painted Guard, and that hurts my soul, so maybe I might go back to the Guard scene.
Just wait for their codex to come out and everyone will say it's trash.
It's just going to be in the last 6 months of edition again. Austin.
I don't expect you to break NDAs,
Adam, but have you seen the data slate?
No. They are keeping that shit tight as all hell. I haven't seen anything, and no one I know knows when it's coming out.
Wow.
That was my next question. Do we have a date that we're allowed to know?
To be in the last week of the month, so it's probably between now and the end of the month, right? We know it's going to be coming in January. Essentially, is the only indication that we've had. Even that might be wrong. You know, they move shit around all the time.
You're saying G-Dub plays to the
would they
beat of their own
a monopoly
drum?
Would never do that.
Never.
Gosh,
not
unheard
not.
Of.
No,
someone with,
never.
Someone with 100% market share doing whatever the hell they want on a whim. Heaven forbid.
I'm just going to sit here and cry in 28-year-old warp spider bottles that
That's actually kind of funny, right? Because so the only ones they've got left to do are the Wasp Blighters and Swooping Hawks, yeah. Die Avengers, were Die Avengers done, redone? Yeah,
Die Avengers have been plastic for a while, but they haven't been redone
because they're just redoing them all plastics. So they've done Dark Reapers, they've done Banshees, they just did the Scorpions just came out as well. So they're halfway through, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
They've done Spears.
So yeah, not doing too bad.
They're the oldest model.
They're going to all be on stupid freaking flying stands, and you're going to be like, where are my two-dimensional tiny boys? I want them back. They hide behind everything. Look, turn them sideways.
Coming from someone who's bloody Shining Spears. Yeah, Shining Spears that went from, you know, two wounds on a normal 32mm base. Nah, you're one model bike. We'll put it on a 60mm base for two wounds.
Unwieldy.
Like, what is this rubbish?
Insanely unwieldy. Like... they can't do anything.
And then change the fly rules so they can't do anything anyway. It's like all of a sudden people aren't using Shining Sculpting. I've only got 12 pain Shining Spears.
Where's my fucking violin? Where is it? Where's my fucking violin? Do you know how much Raven Wing I have? Do you know how much fucking I have a drawer. See this thing behind me? It's a chest of drawers. One entire shelf of that is Raven Wing, and it's all fucking legended. It's gone. It's dead. Can't use it. Can't play it. Over 20 regular Space Marine bikes, gone. 9 attack bikes. 6 painted land speeders, bunch of various other land speeders. Oh, land speeder vengeances are dead. I've got 3 painted of those. Dead. Just a whole draw.
I lost a bone singer.
Oh, mate, you lost a bone singer. Oh, jeez. Pour one out, yeah.
Pour one out, yeah.
My heart bleeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to the same extent. But I did feel you because when they brought out the Eldar index and like, oh, you can only have one unit to one Warwalker, Viper. No, support platform. I'm like, oh, so there's someone who has 9 of these, 9 of these, 9 of these, 9 of these, and now you're kind of like, cool. Mm-hmm. So glad that
it's going to keep happening as well because they're forcing the change. And it change is good, but geez, it feels bad when it's your turn.
Yeah. I can't wait for the start.
Well, I'm curious what you think. What do you think that needs to happen to Eldar? What is a reasonable thing? Because I played an Eldar player on the weekend. I just went to an RTT yesterday. I played an Eldar player, and I'm like, you actually don't have that much in your army. If the points go up by another like 15%, your army just doesn't have enough units to beat mediocre armies. Just by default, you're gonna have like less models in front of custodies.
Yeah, so I'll run you through the list I ran this weekend, and like I said, I think it's like the optimized list for what it is. So I had the Yinkan, I had an Autark Wayleaper on foot, I had a Farseer on bike, I had Spirit Seer, I had the 10 Wraithguard, I then had one squad of Rangers, but then I had 2 squads of Swooping Hawks, 2 squads of Warp Spiders, 2 squads of Shadow Spectres, everything. 2 Night Spinners. So trying to take 2 of all the good stuff, yeah? Which is not a lot.
Dude, you got like 6 units of like really toughness not. 3 nothings that just do... Yeah,
toughness 3, 3 or 4 up, 5 explode, up.
And you just hope that one thing resulted in you getting points. Yeah.
Exactly. So you become an MSU trading army that doesn't have very many trading pieces. So I know a lot of people are still really dirty on Night Spinners because, I can't advance. It's like, yeah, look, that's huge. But a Night Spinner's 180 points now, and they're not killing the chaff that they were. Yeah. They used to be the... No, back when they could use mortal wounds to kill a little unit and then fling the income, that used to be. But now they just don't. They really don't.
Spinners have molded a lot of the trash we take. We don't. There's not as many. There's not many trash units that are just so weak to Night Spinners that a lot of people are just taking those out. I mean, I even feel bad taking Scouts versus Eldar because they are really weak to Night Spinners. They just explode to Night Spinners.
The flip side is, you know, you forward points.
Exactly right. And then
I'm not teleporting my Yinkan anyway. Useful at all.
Like, who cares at that price?
Yeah, so you can take all three squads of scouts for less than one of my Night Spinners. So, yeah. Look, Night Spinners, if they lose one of their rules, like Neptune moving, can't advance.
Just
like,
leave them the same points, make it -2 advance. And if you want takeaway dev wounds... A lot of people say that's a big problem too. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that's a bigger problem. Let people advance because the biggest issue people have with it is the feel bad that they put upon you. So take that away and it's already a lot more reasonable. If you wanted to take away... So I had an idea
to
change the profile to 2 profiles. That it's you get your dev wounds in the indirect profile, but you only get the minus move and advance in a direct fire profile. So if you can see them...
Look, and it's funny you say that, because there's someone
who comes out in the slate, again, we know Adam's playtesting now.
One of the Adam's like, now you do need to do some editing. One of the things that I know, as someone who has been playing Elder for so long, and I said this, like, the joy for me is that when they were busted at the beginning of 10th, people never complained at me.
Correct.
They're like, no, you've been with them through thick and thin. You've been playing them forever and ever, so you don't get the hate. But I remember when Night Spinners had two profiles. Yep. I remember when they had a Torrent Flamer profile as well as the large blast, like going back to blast. So that shows you how old that is. But the Torrent Flamer, move it 12 inches and put it down. Like, I wouldn't be against that, but I have the feeling that
G-Dub's not that nuanced.
We won't have nice things like that. So.
Yeah, not that nuanced.
No. Look, I reckon they're going to do a points increase in some things, and it's just going to make the faction really,
I'm still of the
really
opinion that Yinkan should be once per turn and once per battle round for the jump up and get down for the whack-a-mole. That would make, because she's another field badge mechanic against like a bad or an average Eldari player versus like an average any other player who has no experience with Yinkan. The Yinkan's just a bad time at the office. If you don't, the better you are at the game, the worse she gets.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I was going to jump in and say that before. I think we've all practiced into the Yinkan that many times that we know how to work around it. You just can't line up.
Grenades, model line up a grenade in a tank shot. She's gone.
Breaks my heart. I literally lost my Yinkan in one game because of grenade, of tank shock, and because a vehicle exploded and did the last 3 points.
You'll love to see it.
Literally,
sorry.
I lost. No, you don't. No, I was sitting there like, oh, this is great. This is one of those games. But look, I think points will go up. And when they go up, it's just, like I said, it's going to be good for me. Look, people are going to get off my faction.
There is a whole second tier, again, of Eldar units like that can come up and take the place, but it's all lesser things. Like you can take more rangers because they're probably not going to get hit, but they're just worse versions of the thing, like of the War Spiders, of the Hawks. They don't do anything nearly as good. Well, they don't threaten anything. They just get points and die the same as the others.
No.
You don't get any extra duality of them actually 100%. Units. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Warwalkers don't get hit because there's just so many other things to take the attention. More Warwalkers. Warwalkers are incredible for the points.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Like, 115 points. Like, I get mad at things like Serpents where it's like, oh, twin-linked weapons with a reroll for your single-shot weapons.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool.
I'm still...
Yeah.
Sorry, go.
But I can see them knocking some points up, and then I get to dig deeper into my index and start to really push my player skill again.
For people like you, especially who are faction specialists, if Eldar gets tanked out, especially if your utility units get tanked out, you can just switch to Yunari and start pulling in the Dark Eldar utility units. The gentleman I played on the weekend, he played a couple of units of Scourges in his Eldar army. I'm like, these actually are really good, really good here. They're fantastic. Like, so there are options out there. Yeah,
I don't mind the Scourges. I've practiced, played around with Beastmaster packs as well in Dark Eldar, just for the scouting. Like, it's scouting. You get the pre-move, you get to put pressure on. They've got different wound profiles, so you can really jank
Mandrakes,
how people are.
Mandrakes are there as well.
Targeting Mandrakes. Mandrakes though. Yeah, so like, there's definitely more options there. And look, can always pull in Harlequins.
No,
I don't think Harlequins are going
to
get touched. Maybe the Death Jester.
They need to fix
They need to kill knights.
I played Chaos Knights to a team's event recently. First time
Imperial Knights.
Chaos Knights are fine. They are in teams. They are busted. If you can just keep them away from one or two matchups, and you got a strong player, they just eat people alive. Imperial Knights just need the Bondsman nerf reverted, and then just see. Don't do any others.
And give them Overwatch again. Give them Overwatch.
It's too much. Yeah. No. Little Timmy wants to play against Triple Valiance and just be like, "Do you have a movement phase?" So, no, I die if I move. This sucks. Yeah.
The Bondsman nerf was too far, and it was too early. But I mean, I think there's a Knights player in the top 8 at LVO. Is there?
There is indeed.
So that could just break things again, jerk. I was liking that 36% win rate because I have a lovely Knights army that sees the table for about 3 months of every edition, and then it gets kicked down. Yeah, it gets kicked down the road. Taking.
And they're fun to play at tournaments. I took Knights to a teens tournament last year, and just we went for a bit of a funny skew. I know I took knights. It was the first. Everyone looked at me like, what the hell is this? But we went for a big funny skew. So we had knights, chaos knights. We had custodies with like six dreadnoughts. We had tower with like amazing. Five big suits. We went like big boppers and just to like throw the skew, which well, we came fourth. Like we were stoked. It actually worked really, really well because that's what you can do in teams. But I've never felt so clear-headed or so energized after an event because I had 11 models to move and 4 data sheets to know. I was like, this is incredible.
The older I get, the lazier I am getting. I 3 games in a day, nah, too much for me. I think my perfect event now is 3 days, 2 games a day. Like start at like 9 o'clock, go till midday, have an hour and a half, put on a barbecue, everyone sits around and talks shit for 90 minutes. You know, 1:30, play till 4:30, everyone go to the pub. That's my Warhammer. That's what I want my Warhammer days to be now.
I think I need to connect you with Stephen Box and get you fit for 40K, Adam.
Yes.
This sound like excuses.
I can't be bothered. I play my first game and I'm just like, I'm kind of already done. My itch has been scratched.
My itch has been scratched.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm sitting here after like 3 rounds of teams yesterday, which is just it's a long day. I'm like, man, I could not. I could
too
do
sick.
Two.
Two. WTC, they do 2. You do 2 in a couple. Well, 1 day you do 3, and then a couple of days, the other 2 days, you do 2. At least some of them, I mean. It's perfect.
If you're having a good time. Mm. If you're having a good time, though, like your list is working, you're playing the way you wanted to, it can get your hype up, but...
You can tell who the tournament
fresh face,
is out of
the old man, the old man of the podcast,
this
fresh
is
and
great.
Spry, ready to, you know, grind.
I started Terracon. I grudged solely. I'm like...
Oh, yes, you did.
Jordan. Yes. I was like, fuck this. I want to play the best player there. I didn't want to grudge Napier.
Well, you know, when you're in the prison, you got to go and find the biggest, toughest guy just to get the cred, just so people know.
Correct.
What happened?
Look, Soli accepted the grudge by saying, hey, mate, it's your funeral. Yeah, he does that, and I wrote, mate, I'm choosing the Psalms then. So, look, he took it in good stride. He was a gentleman at the table. Gave me a lot of feedback at the end of it, which is kind of what I really wanted. And look, it was a good time, and I thought I didn't expect to win. I should say, use proper English, even though I've been swearing.
More people should do that, by the way. Because, guys like him, guys like Jeremy, we've got a bunch of the guys in New South Wales, all over the country, but a huge amount of guys in Queensland. And you play them like once a year, you know, at tournaments. Yeah.
Fly all the way to fucking Adelaide and play Simon. Round one after you played in 3 weeks in a row, or you play Liam round one after you played him last week in the practice game. Like
urban legends of our, some people are just cursed with like having to play certain people at every fucking event they go to. So I don't know if you guys know
like,
this.
Even
Rosoli and Findecker. Findecker is the captain of Team New Zealand, one of the best players in New Zealand. Yeah. Fucking mad lad, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely champion. Yeah. They flew to Las Vegas to play LVO and in a 909 player event paired into each other round 3. They Finn came over here and trained here for a week with Matt. I played a couple of games into him as well. And then they flew over to the other side of the fucking world, 24-ish, whatever the fuck hours it is, to go to that tournament of 909 players playing. And they paired into each other with the same fucking list, round 3. And just like, destiny is a cruel bitch of a mistress. Like,
it's a cunt.
Just cursed. Yeah.
Because even... I hear you. I didn't even need to travel. I went to TNA Open, our big major last year, 120 players.
Here it comes.
Like, okay, cool. Eldar on top. I'm taking my Eldar. It's great. Round 1.
Nice.
Simon Godrick.
He got your dick.
And I'm like,
he got your dick.
Why, Simon? And he's like, you should be fine. Turns out I was fine, which is great. But then I had like 4 Eldar mirrors and played like Brody Middleton twice. I played Findecker, which was an absolute experience. Someone asked me afterwards, we were at the bar, I was next to him, and said, oh, how'd your game go? And I was like, nah, Finn's just going to punch me in the face because it was horrific for him. It's one of those games where, as an Eldar player, he scored 23 points. Yeah, it was one of those games where everything just popped off for me, and I was like, and this is real bad. So I was like, but he took it in greats, and we had a fantastic fucking game. But I just seemed to catch him. Yeah, I just seemed to catch him.
If you're a new player out there, or you're just somebody who's always wanted to play XYZ guy, just fucking throw the gauntlet down.
Yeah.
Go for it. Send it.
Just drop it. Uprising last year, I played a noob round one. I 100 to 30'd him. Look, it wasn't pleasant, and I interacted with him for the rest of the tournament, but my biggest hope was round two, I'd get paired into Liam Hackett because he 100-0'd someone. I think there was four of us. And I'm not sure if that's how the pairing system worked at the time, but I was literally like this. I was kind of half following him around the auditorium there at the Taramara Rec Center going, please, 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 please. I knew I'd get done, but I just wanted that experience.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I've rolled dice against him, and how the fuck did he do what he just did? But anyway, that's been my mentality coming into Uprising. I've practiced against John O'Bishop, Brad McDonald.
Hell yeah.
A few really good local guys. And look, I haven't won those games, but geez, I've learned a lot. Man. So I think the outtake here is, as Adam said, don't be afraid to throw down the gauntlet. If you play better players, you're going to learn a lot more. Not saying that don't play your mates who you're both neophytes and you're coming up through the system. Absolutely, get the reps in, but don't be afraid to punch above your weight.
Who knows? Might shake up the country so much.
I've learned more from being Liam Hackett, Eric the Thurist, Hayden Waldock, whipping boy many a time to ever outweigh the drubbing that happens. Like, and I take it now, like the level it's gone to now for me, which is, talk about average 40K players getting better, is I had Liam say to me, hey, can you play an Eldar list before I go over to Warhammer World Championships? I was like, yep, sweet. And I took what I thought would be one of the lists and I went over to play him because he wanted to practice against Eldar. I wanted to play against someone who is a decent Eldar player with his Necron list. I was like, yeah, sweet, happy to. And I played it, and I knew we were talking about it, and it wasn't one of those competitive games. It's like, okay, what happens here? What happens here? And just even learning enough from him / being able to help
him. I find those the best when it's not you versus your opponent, it's you and him versus the game. And I find that's the best learning you'll have. It's both of you working together to try and figure out what's the optimum thing for both of you to do, and you both just accelerate. It's like condensed liquid gold knowledge bombs, especially if they're somebody who's got more expertise into a matchup, or somebody who's a bit better player than you.
Okay. At 2.5 minute warning for end of show, this is where we start doing. Yeah, geez.
You guys are pros. I didn't even notice.
No. I've got the timer here.
You guys have done this before.
Irresistible Force, Tanamira. Dragon's Lair, St. Mary's.
Look,
major sponsor of Uprising coming up. There'll be some news on Dragon's Lair, St. Mary's coming out soon. Can't be revealed yet. A couple of shout-outs from me. NDAs. I put a call out on SA40K. I needed some Tomb Blades for Uprising. Charles Benstead from Port Pirie, 3 hours away, sent me a photo of a box of Tomb Blades he had. He said, do you want these? I said, yep, sure. I didn't know when I was going to get them, how I was going to get them. Anyway, he sent me... The next question was, send me a photo of your color scheme. I sent him a photo of my color scheme. Literally 4 hours later, he'd assembled and painted them to my color scheme. And then drove down to a tournament and left them with someone else. What an absolute lad. That is community for you right there. Charles Benstead, I'm buying you a can of Bundy. If they don't sell them at Uprising, I'll go across the road and get you one. James Southern, who cannot attend Uprising, his mother's car came off the road, the Adelaide Hills, this week. She's in intensive care. He's given up his ticket. Shout out to you, James. Good supporter of the podcast. You always reach out and give me props for that. And I think that's it for shout outs for me.
I got a couple. I'm just going to shout out really quickly Josh McGowan from Gladiator Gaming for the fantastic event he ran this weekend. There's lots of photos up already about that. Wanted to shout out my friends, my teammates from the weekend, in particular Luke Pierce from the Normal Blokes. Thanks heaps, mate, for jumping on the team. His mate Daniel. We had with us Hamish from Toowoomba. Dude, absolute legend. Pleasure playing with you. See for Patrick, who jumped in at last minute for us. Thank you very much, guys. And I guess I would definitely say a huge thank you to you, Adam, for jumping on with us. Really appreciate your support and help. And yeah, just being a big fan of the show
and big fan of your show,
it's great to see this community like Ben.
No need. Thank you very much.
Big fan of saying that, you know, we're all about, we're not competing against each other, like you said before.
Absolutely.
It's us versus the game, not us versus each other. So thanks so much for coming on, mate.
How many episodes you in?
17.
Well, 13 is apparently the do or die number. If you make it to 13 episodes, apparently you're good for probably at least a year, apparently, in statistics. I looked this up before I started any podcasts, and they said 13 is when you can say you pretty much have a show, because you show consistency, you show you're not going to give up and just walk away, because so many podcasts apparently do not make it to episode 13. That's the magic number. So well done, boys. You're doing it. You're done. You're
and
sorted.
Your new podcast, Adam. I want you to shout it out.
It's got such a lame name, and I adore it. It's called That Old World Charm. It should be up on Spotify. It should be up on all the aggregates, which except maybe Apple. Apple iTunes is a bit of a bitch. Yeah, it takes a bit of a time to get up on there. So recording tomorrow, next episode should be up midweek. It's exactly the same format of Art of War Down Under, but for the old world. So it's me, Peter the Falcon, and Danny McDevitt from Mob Rules, and essentially we're just the three talking heads just going through. Right now, we are reviewing the main rulebook, the core rulebook, going through essentially page by page. And we're not reading it out like I do on 40K because it's just too fucking big. It's 300, 400, 500 pages, whatever the fuck it is. So we're just giving you the gist of what you need to do to play the game. And we're going to be doing all the faction breakdowns, reading all the shit, doing all the stuff. Get on it, jump on it. There's a Patreon, part twos, all that good shit. Thank you very much.
And who's going to win Uprising?
Awesome.
I don't even know who's going. I didn't even check.
Glazos, Martino. Oh, fuck no.
Do you know what? Martino's probably due. He's been playing CSM since WTC.
Yeah.
It's been a while since he won like a 3-day, like a CanCon level one. I'm going to go Martino.
Martino? Okay.
Yeah. He's a monster with the CSM. Like, he's just got like, he gets to that number, like that magic, like 150 reps or whatever, and then he just fucking autopilot annihilates you. It's crazy.
Wow. All right, I do not want to get paired into him. I do not want to crutch that shit.
Grudge him, throw it.
Grudge him. All right, I'll message Napier after this and see if it's possible. All righty. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Guys. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Adam. Have a good one, guys.